are thankful to see each one here tonight. We're going to begin in the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And there's a reason we turn to Luke. Luke is commonly considered the one that would write a lot of the history in the book of Acts. And it seems like, it, at least the first part of it, that's a continuation of some of the things we find in Luke going into Acts chapter 1. And we're going to turn over there in just a little bit. I will say this before we get started, as we've gone through this Bible study, we've had a lot of extra things going on ever since the beginning of this year, more than normal. Just had a number of things come up, and I know with going on the trip to Kenya, and then when we got back, started on Sunday school lessons, and then my computer crashed. And I've got one more lesson to write tomorrow and try to finish those lessons up, but that put me a little behind and probably worked on my nerves as much as anything. And also, since we've been back from Kenya, of course, we've been talking to the ministers over there every day with the needs and trying to talk to churches and get things done. There's just been a lot more on our plate, and on top of that, we added another radio station this year that, instead of sending the normal CDs, we've had to add time to record because they have a different record time. And so that added a little bit more on us than we're used to, and we're getting used to it. But y'all could probably tell that there's some days where usually I'm a few weeks ahead. There's been times when I just have been working very hard just to make sure we're where we need to be. And it's taking a little bit more time, but we're finally getting caught up. And thank you for dealing with us and all that, but we're finally getting caught up with some of that. Still got a lot on us. I get those Sunday school lessons behind, though. That'll take a load off until we get the next ones in. But we've been thankful. God's really blessed. And we just had to work a little bit more diligent here lately than we have been doing to try to get everything accomplished. And we certainly desire your prayers. But tonight we're continuing on the subject of evangelism. And I think sometimes one of the things that's left out of evangelism is the work of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot leave out the Holy Spirit in anything that's done in the church. First of all, we know that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. We know that He is our guide. We know that He leads us into knowledge and God's Word. And without the Holy Spirit, a lost soul can't even be drawn to Christ. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit helping us, we're not going to accomplish anything good. We need the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to begin back in the book of Luke because as the church, we need to understand where our power comes from. Our power does not come from our intellect. Our power does not come from us being able to understand enough of God through our own minds, but being led of the Spirit of God that we can accomplish what God would have us to do. And the Holy Spirit is talked about a lot in the Scripture and the work that it does and the importance of that work. And if we're not careful as a church, we can get caught up and we're working, we're doing a lot of things for God. But if we're not being led of the Spirit, we're not really accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. And we need to be led of the Spirit. So I want to begin in Luke chapter 24. Before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Father, we come to You knowing that we need Your blessings. Father, even in preaching this message, we can't get it across without You aiding us by Your Holy Spirit and preaching in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, that we could accomplish Your will. Aid us in every way that Your will could be accomplished, that Your Word could take root in our hearts, that, Father, we that are saved could be the people that You desire us to be, and for those that are lost, that they could see their need of Jesus. And Father, we pray that Your Word would just dwell within us and fill us in all things. And for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give You the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke chapter 24, I'm going to pick up in verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that goes well with what we preached this morning. He says, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now the church is going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And notice that he didn't want them going out and doing anything. He wanted them to tarry and wait. Now while Jesus was with them, he was the power of the church. But when he left, the church had to have a different power from God. And that power came from the Holy Spirit. Now that power led them and guided them into all truth. Of course, in the early church, there were gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit and things of this nature for a time. We call those the apostolic gifts during the apostles' age. And then, of course, the Spirit of God is still with us to this day and still leading the church if we will be led up, if we'll be willing to submit to that. And, of course, I believe that that power wasn't given to just anybody or any little thing that calls itself a church. I believe it's to the church that the Lord Jesus Christ set up. And all that that's branched off of it as far as those that have followed the Lord since. But I want to turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 1. It says, "The former treaties have I made of Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Of course, as Baptists, we believe that that was the one-time baptism of the church. That's not something that's continued on. There's people that say, oh, we need to call down and be baptized with the Holy Spirit and all this. No, that was a baptizing of the church right off at the beginning. And, of course, we still have water baptism that's taught in the Scripture also. But he said, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the othermost part of the earth." Now we dealt with that side of it this morning, but you see that there's power that was given to the church. I do not have the power, neither do you, to convict a lost sinner of their condition. We don't have that power. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. We also don't have the power to do the things of God, even the sealing power and things of this nature. That's all the work of God. God is the one that saves people. God is the one that seals them unto the day of redemption, as soon as they trust in Christ, and as we carry on things in order, as God has set forth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them all things whatsoever He has taught us, it is the Holy Spirit that leads them into all truth. And so we need the working of the Holy Spirit. That power is essential for the work of God. And notice that they were to be witnesses here. So they're to be witnesses here, but he wanted them to wait until they had received power. What good is witnessing without power? And that power comes from the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. We've got to have that if we're going to go forward and do the work of God. And then, as we have power, we've got to make sure we're following the leadership of God in all that we would do. I want to turn over and look at just a couple of scriptures. And I know that we're skipping over several of them. I know how the Spirit has led a lot in the church. And you could go in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, and many many places in the early church, and certainly turn to other places and find. But I want to turn to Acts chapter 8 next. Now, of course, we know how Philip was led of the Spirit to go unto a desert place. And I want you to notice this. There was a man that needed the gospel. But it took a man being led of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this. Philip was led into a desert place. He went, and in verse 29 of Acts chapter 8, it said, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Now, we know that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from what we know as Isaiah 53, about how the Lord was willing to pay our sacrifice, that He, by His stripes, we are healed, that He endured all that. And Isaiah 53 goes into detail about His suffering and what He was willing to go through so that we could be justified in the sight of God, and God accepted it as an atonement for sin. Notice that the Spirit wanted Philip to wait. There was a certain time that God wanted Philip to go over to that eunuch. And it was after he had been reading. This man had been reading. And by the time that Philip came over there, he could hear the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Now think about that for just a moment. God was working on that eunuch, working on his heart, led him to read a certain scripture. And not only that, he was reading it out loud where Philip could hear him. And when the Spirit leads Philip to come over, it's at a place where Philip is led, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" Now, for that conversation to happen the way that it did, the Holy Spirit had to be working on both sides, didn't it? For it to work out where that man was reading, where he was reading, for Philip to come up at that moment, and for that conversation to start the way it did, and for that man's heart to be willing to receive help, that all had to be worked by the Holy Spirit. And you say, "Well, we're not in the days of Acts. We're not in that time period." What about this can't happen today? Can God not be working on somebody's heart? And just to give an example, somebody's reading their Bible somewhere, and maybe they don't even have it with them by the time that you get approach them. But they read a certain scripture, and all of a sudden God leads you to talk to them, and God may have led you to the same scripture. And you bring that up, and here's how the conversation goes. "Do you know I was reading that this morning? I read that very scripture this morning." That can't happen today. We know it can. And God, leading by the Spirit, then could say, "Well, let's talk about that scripture. If you were reading it and God led me to read it, let's talk about it." Share Christ with somebody. They get saved. Listen, I believe this a lot. There's times when I felt like God led me to talk to somebody, and then all of a sudden it seems like God was already working on the other side of it. God was dealing with somebody, and that's what we see here in the Scripture. But it took Philip being willing to follow the Spirit to accomplish this. I want to ask us a question. Are we following the Spirit? Sometimes we wake up and we say, "Well, today's going to be just like yesterday, and it's just going to happen like it did. I go to work and I do this." I think a lot of times we see little results because we're not expecting much. And sometimes it's because we're not preparing for much. Y'all might have heard the old story. I've heard it's been said over the years. I've heard many preachers talk about it. They would ask the question about two men praying for rain. One man prayed for rain and he just went back home. Another man prayed for rain and he went and picked up his umbrella. Which one was expecting rain? Sometimes we'll say, "Lord, we pray that lost souls can be saved," but we don't pray for God to use us that somebody could be saved. It's important that we pray. It's important that we study. It's important that we be led of the Spirit and that we have our eyes open to what's around us. Because if we're going to make ourselves useful to the Lord, you know, I think about what Paul told Timothy. He said, if a man will purge himself from these things, he can be a vessel of honor, meet to the master's use. You know, it's amazing when you get all the garbage that goes on in our mind and all the things that we get focused on out in the world, when you start clearing some of that out, it's sometimes amazing what God helps us to see. And sometimes when we stop looking at the world and we start looking at God, God says, okay, now I can use you. Now you have your eyes open. Now you're ready to see. And when we get everything out of the way and we start looking to God, all of a sudden, God says, now you see that person over there? Go talk to him. You see this over here? I want you to go by and talk to him. You see this person that hasn't talked to me in a while and you think it's just been given over? Listen, I've been working on them. I want you to go have a conversation with them. Now, it's one thing if I try to force an issue and I try to just make a conversation on my own, isn't it? But it's a totally different thing when the Spirit of God has burdened or pricked my heart and He says, go, now go speak. Now go knock on that door. Now go over here to this desert place, so to speak. And sometimes God might even have us wait on the side of the road somewhere. Let me ask this question. Can God break your car down at the right time, just start a conversation with somebody? But I tell you what, if our focus is the vehicle, we might miss something. Do we believe that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose? Do we believe that? If we do, then if God has something to come into our life, if we're looking close enough, there's a reason for it. There's a reason behind it. Sometimes that might even be when we lose a loved one. You know what our focus is when we lose a loved one? And I hope you understand. I said we. I know my own faults and failures. We have a pity party, don't we? Oh, my grief. Oh, my sorrow. Oh, what's going on? Oh, what are we going to do? But if we'd look up, have our eyes upon the Lord, it might be that God said, now I worked this so that an opportunity could arise. I worked this out so that this person over here could be saved. You know, one of the weirdest accounts, I wish I could remember the missionary's name, and I don't want to call the wrong man's name out. I've got a pretty good idea, but I'm afraid I'd get the name wrong. But I know we had a missionary years ago that went to a building where they were having a missionary service, and guess what? Nobody showed up. Drove all that way. Nobody was there. And the man said, but I still got a burden. And according to his own testimony, he gave the testimony. He said, I felt like the most foolish man in the world because all of a sudden I just started preaching to nobody. And he preached and preached and preached his heart out till he was done with the message and, of course, went home. Most people today, you know what they would do? They'd look with their natural eyes and they'd say, God, this is insane. I'm not going to preach. There's nobody here. But he did preach. Years later, he got a letter in the mail. Don't know how the man found out who he was. Don't know how the man got a letter to him. He said, you don't know this. He said, but years ago, you preached the message. And he said, and I was hiding in the broom closet. I was a man that was broke. And he said, but I listened. And he said, that night I trusted the Lord as my Savior. You know why that man got saved? Because a man was willing to listen to the Spirit even against what made sense to him. And he preached the message because God laid a burden on his heart. And I tell you, one of the biggest problems we've got in our churches today is people doubt when the Holy Spirit leads them. And we don't act when the Holy Spirit tells us to do something, we doubt, we question. Somebody, God will lead us to go speak to somebody, and we might look at their outward appearance and what they look like at the moment. We say, that person's not going to hear God. I'm not speaking to them. And God's like, you don't understand. I know where they've come from. I've been working on them for a while, and I put you here. But a lot of times we quench that spirit, don't we? We quench it with our doubts and our fears and our ideas, and we miss a blessing. If we're going to do evangelism right, sometimes it takes a while before we see the fruit of it. That man preached a message, if I'm not mistaken, it was a 20-year gap by the time he preached that message to the time he got that letter in the mail from the man that had trusted Christ. He probably even looked back on that sometimes and said, how foolish was I to preach that message? Nobody was there. But then God showed him years later, no, there's a reason I gave you that message. I knew there was a man in the closet. I had set everything up so that man would be there and he would hear it. God can do amazing things if we would yield ourselves to the Spirit and not go by our own understanding. Be led of the Spirit. I've often wondered, what in the world did Philip think when the Spirit led him to go into a desert place? I mean, he was in a place where souls were being saved. A great revival, so to speak, was going on. The Spirit says, okay, I want you to leave this and I want you to go out in the middle of a desert. What sense would that have made to Philip? But you know what he said? I trust God. I trust God. I'm going to follow Him. Turn with me over to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 7. This is Paul and Silas here. And in verse 7, it talks about them that after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go in to Bethania, but the Spirit suffered them not. You know, not only the Spirit will lead us to do something, sometimes the Spirit will lead us not to do something. Listen to the Spirit is just as important. You know, there might have been people that were ready to do them harm there in the place where they desired to go, and God knew it. And God had a time for the Apostle Paul's death, just as He had a time for Silas's death. He said, no, you're not going there. You know, there's sometimes we get in our mind, well, I need to go here, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. I'll say this, since I've been preaching, this June will be 21 years since I surrendered to preach. Y'all know how much of the ministry that God's called me to do has gone the way I would have planned it? Not a bit of it. Not a single bit of it. If you would have told me when I first surrendered to preach that I would have been pastoring in Beaumont, Mississippi, I would have laughed at you. You know how many times I preached at Beaumont before they called me for pastor? Once. Once. I preached there on a fifth Sunday. You know, they had the dinner on the grounds and got to preach. And I just felt like, well, it was like a normal service. They had a pastor at the time. A month later, they called me for pastor. I would have never thought that. I certainly didn't preach anything enticing or that would have been so wonderful to hear that people were thinking, I tell you what, this is such a great minister, we just need to call him on up. I was young and green and I made more mistakes. I even know my first year there as pastor, I probably said I'm sorry more times than anything else. I stumbled around and made mistakes. Listen, doing conferences, being the moderator. Oh, I stumbled. I was studying Robert's Rules of Order and trying to get things right and do things well. But I would have to just sit there sometimes conference and say, I got that out of order. I did that wrong. And you know, just say, I'm sorry. They weren't calling the best man. But it was what God wanted. If you'd have told me I'd ever been called to the mission work to go out and try to start a church up in Grenada, Mississippi, I'd have told you you lost your mind. I said, now I'll help missionaries and I'll encourage them every way I can. God's not going to call me to that. But you submit to the Spirit, different things can be accomplished. Need to be led of the Spirit. And I'll tell you this. You know there's times when I wanted to go places and was called places and God said, nope. That's not where I want you. I had a man come to me one time. I'm definitely not going to call the church's name out or anything. But it was a pretty good sized church that asked me one time. Some of the members did. They said, we were wanting to put you up for pastor. And I had to tell them before they ever brought it before the church. I said, I can tell you right now. I said, God's Spirit says I can't do it. And y'all have no idea how much I wanted to say yes. It was close to home. It was a good sized church. Far as offering is concerned, it would have been pretty good. It worked out well on several different accounts for me. But the Spirit of God said, no, that's not where I want you. I had a time even when I was on the mission field and I knew God was done with me up in the work in Grenada. And I was called to a place and it was another mission point. It was another mission work. And I tell you what, I tried to convince God with everything that was within me. Please let me go here. Please let me go here. Oh, I want to help these people. I love the area. I love the people. Oh, I want to go here. About broke my heart when I had to stand before them on a Wednesday night and say, God won't let me. But see, God knows what needs to be done. God knows what's needed. And I could even say right here, if you would have told me I'd have ever pastored Faith Church, listen, before I came to fill in, when y'all were without pastor, a while back, I had preached here one time in 2001. Listen, I thought I'd never step foot in this church again, as far as I knew, maybe except to visit during a revival or something. But I believe that God led me here. Hope y'all feel the same way. And when I got the call, I got settled. And I know Susan knows this better than anybody else with conversations we had. Months before that, there were other churches and mission points without somebody to come and work with them, and I was waiting. I said, oh, this place calls. It must be of the Lord. I knew God was moving me somewhere. I just didn't know where it was. How God does things is often different than what we think. But when we're led of the Spirit, it makes a big difference. I even go back in the Old Testament and I think about the faith. Listen, faith works with the Spirit, doesn't it? The Spirit leads in something and we have to put our faith in it and trust that God knows what He's doing. Let me ask you this question. Did Abraham follow the Spirit of God when he offered up Isaac? He did. Did Joseph follow the Spirit of God when he worked for Potiphar? Did he follow the Spirit when he interpreted the dream for that cupbearer? Did Joseph follow the Spirit when he came before Pharaoh? And I could say that about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I could say that about Joshua. I could say that about a lot of people throughout the Scripture. What made a difference in them is they followed the Spirit of God. They didn't do what was easy. They didn't do what made sense naturally. They followed what God wanted them to do. And when we're talking about evangelism, some people say, well, I can just go talk to somebody about the Lord. I tell you, you better pray about it first. I believe in sharing the gospel with everybody. I do. I believe we're called to go into all the world. But when it gets to the place that you're going to talk to people, having the Spirit lead you and even what to say and do is so valuable. And I think a lot of times we've got churches that are not being led of the Spirit. They're not following where God wants them to be. I believe even at churches, and I caught some flack for this one time, but I'll stand behind it with everything. I had a man come to a church one time, and he made the statement. He said, we're thinking of moving our membership here. I said, would you do me a favor? I said, would you go home and pray about it and make sure God's leading you here? Now, y'all know we want people like crazy. We love new members and we love people coming. But if it's not the Spirit leading somebody, if somebody comes to a church without God leading them, it's not going to accomplish anything, is it? And I tell you what, sometimes the Spirit will lead you in a way that you never thought you would go. But then you find out, well, God had me here for a reason. God led me here for a reason and purpose. Yet it's so valuable that we listen to the Spirit when we're sharing the gospel, when a person's preaching the gospel. We're deciding where to go to church. And everything that we do, the Spirit needs to be leading and guiding us. And I pray that we'll submit to the Spirit and be led of it, that we can accomplish good things. Today, dear friend, I want to ask this question in closing. What has the Spirit led you to do? Or not to do, for that matter. Has the Spirit led you to talk to somebody, but you haven't said a word yet? You've let your doubts and your fears get in the way? There might even be a lost person that the Holy Spirit's dealt with. And you've got questions and you might be confused on some things. And the Spirit leads you to talk to somebody in church. Maybe come to me as the pastor and talk to me. But you're sitting back and holding on to all your ideas and saying, well, I'll figure it out eventually. Can I encourage you to follow the Spirit? I even tell that to people that are dating sometimes. I say, you know what you need to do? You need to follow the Spirit. I wonder if that would make a big difference in a lot of people getting married if they'd follow the Spirit of God. Let God lead somebody in their life instead of trying to find somebody themselves. Listen, we got people trying to find people and they're not doing it in godly fashion and they're not seeking godly people and it causes all kinds of problems. Wouldn't it be better if they'd be led of the Spirit? And I know I'm jumping around a few different things when we're dealing with the subject of evangelism, but I tell you, it'll make a difference. Let me ask you this, because I think they're all intertwined. If you go and work where God wants you to work, talking especially to us men here, but if you go where God wants you to be, do you think God might put you in somebody's life that you can point them to the Lord? That He has a reason for things working out where you would be at that certain place? See, I believe that. I believe that if we're led by the Spirit and we even marry the right person, it helps out with our children being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord where they trust in Christ. It helps them to grow and mature in the Lord that they can win souls to the Lord also later on. I believe in everything that we do needs to be led of the Holy Spirit. Because we do things led of the Holy Spirit, God's going to open up doors for us. God's going to open up opportunities. God's going to put people in our life that He says, now speak. Now say what I've placed upon your heart. And we'll see God work in ways that are just amazing. But to see those things accomplished, we got to be led of the Spirit of God. I'll even say this. I'm not just going to turn back and read it, but at the church at Antioch, in probably about a 3-year time span, we know that the Apostle Paul was called directly of God. He saw Jesus Christ with his own eyes, and Jesus himself told Paul that I'm going to make you an apostle to the Gentiles. I'm going to send you unto these people. Even though God told him that, he had to submit to the same things that he would later write to Timothy of qualifications for a minister, not letting a novice be a minister. About 3 years later, the Bible says that the church at Antioch was led of the Spirit to set aside Barnabas and Paul for the work that God had called them to do. You know what that church did? Even though they knew Paul, even though they saw him working, even though they knew that God had a work for him to do, they waited until the Spirit said, it's time. And when the Spirit led them, they fasted, prayed, laid hands upon them, and sent them out to the work that God had called them to do. That was Paul, Barnabas being led of the Spirit, and the church at Antioch being led of the Spirit. How many souls were saved because they waited upon the Spirit of God to move? Everything we do needs to be led of the Spirit. Everything we do. And so when we talk about evangelism, when we talk about reaching out to lost souls, we need to make sure that the Holy Spirit is what's leading. When we call for a revival, it needs to be the Holy Spirit leading. Not who we want to hear, but who God wants for us to have. When you call for a pastor, it needs to be who God wants for you, not who you want. When we share Christ with the world, it needs to be because God led in it, not that we were doing what we wanted to do. I want to encourage us as we go forward, be led of the Spirit. Let God lead you. If we do, we might be amazed at the results that we see. The Spirit of God is able to lead and accomplish things that we thought were even impossible. If we would just yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and follow that in everything. And again, I want to say this in closing. I can't leave this off dealing with the Holy Spirit. It is God's Spirit that draws a sinner to trust in Christ. And I don't know who the Spirit of God might be dealing with, but if God's Spirit has burdened your heart, showed you your condition, and pointed you to Christ, I tell you the best thing you'll ever do is follow that Spirit and trust in Christ while there's time and opportunity. And God will save you because that's His promise. If you'll believe upon Jesus. This is the burden God has given us. You'd have anything upon your heart, I invite you to come. I have first of a song.